Yeah, it's weird. I didn't know that Disney could do these things. Disney that was trying to turn a red state purple. Disney that wants to sexualize kids and confuse them about their gender. Disney who partners with Big Pharma. That was it. They're trying to turn a blue state, or probably a red state, purple. That's what Disney was trying to do with their meddling in elections, throwing their bulk around. Did you know this?
They were self-governing. They had extraordinary powers. They could build nuclear power plants.
They could build nuclear power plants? And the left is defending this? And there's conservatives upset with DeSantis for not allowing them to be exempt from the laws of the state? Guys, I'm telling you, we need red state fire lines.
The Todd Herman Show is 100% disapproved by Big Pharma, technocrats, and tyrants everywhere. Now, from the high mountains of free America, here's the Emerald City Exile, Todd Herman.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and these are the times to which God has decided we shall live. And the times to which God's decided for us to live, it's an opportunity for us to also express joy at the time he's asked us to live, decided that we shall live. Because it's the best possible time in the world to help people make the right decisions. I am still absolutely set on red state fire lines. I'm telling you, the West Coast is gone. It's gone, guys. And it's going to take multiple generations to get it back. I'm not trying to be a pessimist. God could, in the blink of an eye, turn it around. But God has also a long track record of saying, oh, you want to live in your fleshly sins and inequities? Go ahead. I'm happy to release you. Well, I don't know that he's happy, but hey, I'll release you to that. Go try it out. Well, the West Coast is going to get worse, and so is the East Coast. And we have to have red state fire lines, ideological fire lines, the candidates we select. Later in the program, Ed Humphreys comes by. He's running for governor in the state of Idaho, a red state. I'm trying to get a lot of these guys on. He was just on Glenn Beck's program, by the way. And we'll talk with Ed. We just talked last week with Steve Bradshaw. And I'm trying to get the governor of Utah on, Gary Cox, who is apparently going around and telling people his pronouns. Yeah, absolutely rotten, corrupt to the core. Ron DeSantis is building fire lines.
This company had a deal unlike any company or any individual in all of the state of Florida and probably anywhere in the United States. They were self-governing. They had extraordinary powers. They could build nuclear power plants. They didn't have to go through permitting processes, obviously a lot of tax benefits. And so that's just inappropriate. And it's certainly inappropriate when you look, as you, I think, did a great job pointing out, they pledged themselves to mobilize their considerable corporate resources out of the coffers of this Burbank, California-based corporation to overturn the rights of parents in the state of Florida and effectively commandeer our democratic process. And so that obviously is something that we very much objected to. And then you also have those videos that you showed where you have all these higher-ups in Disney talking about how it was their intent to inject sexuality in the programming that goes to young kids. I got a 5-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 2-year-old at home, Tucker. I want them to be able to watch cartoons without having this stuff jammed down their throats. And so it was appropriate to have done this originally, 3 years ago, whatever, but it's certainly appropriate to make them live under the same laws as everybody else in the
absolutely,
state of Florida.
Because they are trying to change the laws for everyone else using their bulk and their power. Truly. Soda Weight Loss, SOTAweightloss.com, is our partner for this hour, starting the hour. Their commitment to reaching you through us is one of the ways we keep the show going and growing. SodaWeightLoss.com. I'm going to bring on my friend Julie Barrett in a second to talk about the West Coast, to talk about the, you want more on women? She does a podcast called Women'splaining. Would you like to know the advice the Republican Party in Washington State is paying to get? Would you like to know? Because it's further signs that we need these red state fire lines, even getting into the political parties, and maybe even especially the political parties. The insanity of the coasts is well expressed by this trip. This is this Taylor Lorenz who doxed the lady who ran libs of TikTok and used German hackers to gain the information to be able to dox her. She's back to saying this.
I think it's rare to see an account gain so much prominence so quickly and be shaping these narratives in such an effective way, especially against trans people. My story was kind of long, but I really wanted to make the case, like, why this account mattered. And I think it's incredibly important, you know, as someone that covers the influencer industry, to know who is exerting influence in this way. I mean, for all we knew, this could have been a foreign actor.
We're back to it could have been Russia from the coasts. The red state firewalls that we need. We'll talk with Ed Humphreys, who intends to be governor of Idaho if he wins this election. And man, there's three conservatives running against a shiny shoe. And I think, and I like all of them, but one of them's going to have to step out. Or we're going to get the shiny shoe Brad Little, and then Idaho falls. Not the city Idaho falls. No, then the state of Idaho will be on the way to falling. Mark my words, if Little gets back in. You want to hear about what happens when there's no red state firewall? All right. So from the Woman's Planning podcast, and in fact, a team member in the Todd Herman Show, Julie Barrett joins us. Julie, welcome back.
Hello, Todd. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's good. I'm good. I'm spending a lot of time talking with people about red state firewalls. And in addition to just talking a bit about your podcast, Woman's Planning, I also wanted to talk with you because you still live in the separate country of Washington State, and you are seeing the results of no red state firewall. With the absence of a functional Republican Party back there. And you talk a bit about the Washington State Legislature and national issues as well, but they really are at this stage of destroying families and children, which is, of course, how you topple a society. So let's talk about what you're seeing in the separate country of Washington State.
Yeah, you know, to be honest with you, I find it very discouraging because what I've seen with, this was my first experience dealing with the legislature. And I was very involved in this legislative session this year, which was a short session, but it was very eye-opening for me. And it was very discouraging to see that at least half of the Republican Party is in bed with the Democrats. And, you know, how do we win if our own party is voting in line with the Democrats and following their lead and compromising all over the board?
Yeah, we had to drag the Republican Party into the fight against the perverse pornographic sex ed. And once we drug them into it, they really liked the fight because they found out that they could secure a lot of voter data because a lot of parents were, you know, justifiably angry. But I noticed that's now a done issue. I noticed that no one in Washington State, like the legislature, no one's trying to reverse that. No one talks about it anymore.
No. And, you know, along with the comprehensive sex ed, we also have the ethnic studies, which is just a pretty name for critical race theory. And the ethnic studies curriculum passed back in 2019 at the same time as the sex ed stuff. And there's nothing. You don't see anybody on the Republican side other than, you know, a select few, you know, Jim Walsh for one, Jesse Young for another, that are really, you know, trying to lead a fight to change those laws. But you know, you can't change anything with just one or two or, you know, even a half dozen, a handful of people. You really need everybody on board on the same page. And we just don't have that.
Right. And so the red state firewall stuff and coming up on the program, Ed Humphreys is going to join us. He's running for governor in the state of Idaho. We've had Steve Bradshaw on, and Ed is a much younger guy, 31 years old, worked at an oil rig as a roughneck, and also went and got himself a fancy degree and manages tens of millions of dollars. So interesting candidate. I need to talk with him about red state firewalls because it has to be across the board. His campaign seems to be focused on economic issues and issues of corruption, which is all well and good. But if you're not willing to protect the minds, bodies of children, you're not really protecting anything. And Julie Barrett's with us, Woman's Planning Podcast, also a team member here, will be with me on May 20th when we're going to talk about Will God Rescue America, a live event in right outside of Babylon in Bothell. So get tickets at the ToddHermanShow.com/events, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Julie, you went to an event that was a Republican Party event. It was a Lincoln Day event. And they hired, and I'm going to assume they paid because they pay me to do it. They paid a special speaker from the media to come and address. And this is a woman with whom I used to be friends. I still think she's a fantastic reporter. But Brandi Cruz was there, and she had some advice for Republicans.
Yeah, well, as you know, from, you know, Brandi's been a figure in the Seattle area for quite a while, and she's not a Republican. She is an amazing journalist. I really appreciate the work that she does. But she's not a Republican, and her advice to the Republicans that were at this event was that we really need to compromise and become more appealing to the moderate Democrats. And that means that we would accept the transgender community and become more inclusive to the transgender community. And I just, you know, I was shocked that the GOP would hire someone with this messaging to come and speak at a Lincoln Day dinner, because we can't afford to compromise. I mean, compromise is how we got to where we are right now.
Was she able to define what it means to be transgender?
She didn't really go into it very deeply, but she did. She touched on that that's where we need to, the Republican Party needs to move in that inclusive direction.
I see. So did she also say that we need to be more inclusive of people who want to cut off their limbs because they were born in the wrong body?
No, she didn't go there.
Well, what about giving kids intestinal bypass surgery because they feel they're too heavy? Did she touch on that?
She did not.
So shocking. So shocking. Yeah. And this is one of the frustrations I have is even an investigative reporter has never investigated this stuff. And and what's so what she's actually saying is we need to compromise on the definition of man and woman and boy and girl. And we need to agree to endorse and encourage medical irreversible medical harm to little kids.
Yeah.
Right. And what was the response to the from the audience when Brandi said these things?
You know, I was kind of surprised because most of the people were applauding her and, you know, she did a standing ovation. And this was my first Republican event I've ever been to. And it was another eye-opening experience for me this year in Washington State.
Yeah. Well, you have, see, and this goes to the red state firewall thing. It is from your zoning commissions to your city councils to your county councils to your Republican Party leadership. We actual conservatives need to be involved. And this means policing our own. And in the state of Idaho is going to follow the state of Washington if, or the state of Utah, if we're not careful. Cox down in Utah apparently is now announcing his pronouns because people can't figure out that a man named Gary is a man. So he's announcing his pronouns. And Utah was thought to be the reddest of states and they take over the cities. So I would just ask one more question about that event. How often did Brandi or the other speakers use the word of God in their presentations?
There was zero mention of God, of Christianity. They did open the event with a prayer, which was nice, but the candidates that spoke, nobody mentioned God. There were no, I guess, controversial issues, you know, such as abortion, such as the transgender, public education. None of those issues were touched on at all.
Huh. Yeah. So
taxes and economy, the easy stuff that everybody can agree on.
Right. Well, that's their business model. And if you're, if your state's Republican Party's business model is about low taxes, toss them. Because you can talk low taxes all you want, but taxes are not the only way that the party collects monies. They collect it by forcing you to pay for medicines you don't want, procedures you don't want, by forcing you to pay taxes on a house that doesn't exist. I didn't see the Republicans fighting that. Then there's this issue as well, Julie, that the Republicans – like they, I understand that they came at you that you should run for office because, and you'll forgive me, you're my friend and my colleague, but you are a, you know, you're an attractive woman. You're a smart woman. You have a group of women that you have helped gather and curate, Conservative Ladies of Washington. So you have a support base. You speak well, you're camaraderie and all this, you're smart. But they have,
Thank you.
Well, yeah, I mean, those are all true things. But it seems that when they go and bring women into the party, it's almost like they are looking for trophy wives.
Yes, I would agree with that. And we see that happening, you know, with the 2022 election. You have these younger, smart, attractive women that they are pulling as candidates, and they are seem like nice enough people with, you know, some of them have very compelling life stories, but their messaging as far as government and policy, they don't have a message. They don't have, you know, the Democrats are very good at that. You know, Patty Murray's going to come to the table with a huge laundry list of these are all the things I've done for you. We've got to have strong messaging if we're going to compete with those people.
Right. And it seems that, again, and red state firewall stuff, if you see people, candidates being selected as window dressing or trophy wives because of the race, because of their color or their skin, this is why we go back to this screening methodology. And when Ed's on coming up, I will ask him the same questions I asked Steve Bradshaw. I'll ask him questions about God. And then we'll dig into the politics because, of course, for me, it starts with following God's word. And on the Woman Splitting podcast, you spend a good bit of time, I think, explaining how women are being used by this society. And how do you think how do you think they get away with this in states like Washington, where honestly, I mean, there's a lot of really, really smart women there, I guess, all across the country. But, you know, Seattle always touts its percentage of people with college degrees, et cetera. How are they getting away with this stuff, in your opinion, with women? Because you'd think women would be up in arms that their fellow women are being raped in prisons by men who pretend to be women, that their kids are being taught to hate one another, this medical tyranny, that they want to control kids' bodies with mRNA injections. How do you think they get away with this?
I think that we've had this messaging for so long that women are treated as less than or unequal, which I personally don't agree with that. I've never felt that way. I've never felt like I was a victim just because I was a woman.
Yeah.
But that is the messaging. And I think you do have a lot of females who buy into that stuff. Like you'll hear women say things like the future is female. I don't even know what that means, but I think you have a population.
Yeah.
You have a population of women who seek positions of power, like, you know, being a state representative or state senator or whatever position it may be, and that makes them somehow feel worthy or more equal. That feels like they're forwarding women's rights, I guess.
Right. Versus, and they would put the versus in it. It doesn't need to be a versus, but versus, they would say just being a stay-at-home mom. Just.
Correct.
Right.
Right.
You're going to be joining me May 20th in Bothell, outside of the big Babylon of Seattle. And I want to call Bothell Babylon. It's a baby Babylon, but it's a fine community, Cedar Park Church. And we're going to talk about, will God rescue America? And God rescued you.
He did. He rescues me over and over again. but yes.
And the first rescue for you. And because this plays into, will God rescue America? Like, did you go seeking God or did he go seeking you?
He definitely went seeking me. And it's been very interesting to look back on my life and see how he strategically put people and situations in my life that led me straight to him.
Yeah.
You know, and I think God does that to everybody. It's just whether or not we, you know, he knocks on the door and do we open the door?
Right.
And I was resistant for a long time.
Yeah.
I really had to get to rock bottom.
Yeah. And I've been there. I was at rock bottom when I was a churchgoer, and not until I took the knee to the Lord voluntarily did I understand why we continued to bottom out. And I think, not to get all maudlin, because I don't want to get all maudlin, but I think that you and I meeting and being teamed up the way we are in this program and you beginning your podcast, I think that was very definitely a God thing.
Absolutely. And I think what's cool, and, you know, I've said this to you before, and I say it to people often, you know, the way that you and I met, you know, was really during a very terrifying experience for me. But, you know, God has been very strategic about placing people like you and I who are on sort of this similar path in spreading his message and being spreaders of truth. And I think he's very strategic about this time and leading people to link arms together And it's just, it's really cool.
Oh,
I think because there's no, I've got with God, there's no accident.
No. And I think that, you know, I know that he spoke very often about a remnant of people. And he spoke specifically about a remnant of Jewish people who would remain tight with him, and that would in fact be rescued ultimately and in the kingdom with him. And I've noticed the same thing, the strategic placement of people. We're going to talk later this week with our friend and teammate Dave Parkhurst. I believe I met Dave through an act of God. Because we got to honor his father. Folks, later this week you're going to hear about Robert Parkhurst. Dave the Digital from Green Haven Interactive. His dad is a Korean War combat vet. Recently disclosed to Dave. Oh, by the way, Sana was a prisoner of war.
Wow.
Yeah. Didn't want to mention it until now. And he happens to be in the hospital, so we're praying for him. But I got to take his father to a Mariners game. His dad got to go deliver the first ceremonial pitch or ceremonial ball. Like, got to go out on the field. Cool. And got to see his life celebrated. And he told Dave later, I could die happy now because I know I've not been forgotten as a Korean War vet. And here's Dave now, who leapt in at super short notice to build, you know, the podcast stuff and the tech stuff for us 3 months early, because I'd intended to leave radio, but I didn't intend to leave that early. And here you and I are sharing some of the same, not exactly the same, but some of the same travails through the absolutely insane world of adolescent mental health in Washington State, which in my judgment, Julie, it's purely predatory.
Yes. And, you know, as you are well aware, it's not just in Washington State. You know, we did experience it recently in another state.
Right.
So it's, you know, that's why the red state firewall is such an important thing, because what's happening in Washington is like a virus.
Right.
And it's spreading all over the country.
I hope you'll share, and your speech will be your speech at this event, the ToddHermanShow.com/events, May 20th, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. And then 8:30 to 9, we're just going to visit. All of us are going to visit. I hope you'll share a bit of your life story and how the Lord came for you, because I think how he came for you might be how he comes for the nation. And I don't want you to give away your speech, but I don't think it's a... I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that God will rescue America.
I 100% agree. And, you know, we know that he can.
Right.
But we don't know if he will, just like we don't know if he will save Washington State. I mean, it's not looking so good. We know he can if he wants to.
We also know that God has a very long record of saying, hey, you want to live in your inequity? Cool. You want kings? Cool. You want to live in your human fleshly lusts? Okay, go ahead and enjoy all of that and turn your back on me, and I'll loose you, because God he invented free will.
Right.
And he invented.
And we don't. Yeah. And we don't see the Christians standing up against what's going on. And that's, you know, God is giving us all of these warnings. I mean, they can't get any, you know, the warnings can't get any more blatant than what we're seeing today. And we do not have Christians at large standing up and speaking out against what's going on.
Right. And we have a Republican Party that is embarrassed by the word of God.
Yeah.
It makes them uncomfortable. You'll never hear them quoted in debates. You'll never hear them quoted as they lead up to legislation. Few and far between. I mean, they'll say, and God bless America, whatever that means to them. Right. Bless us for what? Exactly. Right. But, and this is, I guess, there's this confluence of things that people listen to this podcast for. And that is politics, because that's how we made our bones. And God rest Rush, he gave us that national footprint. But more and more, Julie, I'm hearing from people now who are beginning to understand that the only real authority exists in the word of God. And if we are not willing to speak that into debates, I can see God saying, so you're so embarrassed of my word. You're so afraid of being called a bigot. You will not quote my Bible in debates. Oh, well then you don't have any authority. Right.
Right.
And on this, on this day, I mean, we're not really introducing your podcast. We've talked about it before, but it's a woman splitting podcast. And why'd you choose that name?
Well, actually, my husband, who is super creative and witty, yeah, he came up with the name about a year and a half ago. And the reason was, you know, the left likes to use the term mansplaining.
Right.
You know, if you tell it, Todd, if you tell me how to do something or what I should do, then you're mansplaining to me and you're demeaning me. And so the woman's planning is kind of a play on that ridiculous idea of mansplaining.
I love
it. Woman's planning is me woman's planning it to the world.
All right. Well, I appreciate that so much. There's a link to Julie's podcast, Woman's Planning, in the podcast notes on the Substack. Please check it out and like it and subscribe to it. If you like it, I mean, subscribe to it. Same rules here. If you don't like the podcast, we'd ask you not to subscribe. But if you love it, we'd ask you to share it with friends. All right. So the Red State Firewall, we agree on that. Ed Humphreys is going to join us to talk as a candidate in a red state that would very, I very much like it to stay red since it's the high mountains of free America, which I live. And Julie, I can't wait to spend time with you and everybody else May 20th in Bothell, Washington. Will God rescue America? Thank you again for coming on. And thank you for all your hard work on the podcast. It would not be where it's at without you. Thank you for your faith. And thank you for your optimism in all of that you've been through. And just ask that you go with God's good grace.
Thank you so much. And thanks for being with me in this fight and having me on the team. It's an honor to be part of the Todd Herman Show.
All right. Well, there we go. Thank you, Julie. Coming up, Ed Humphreys, candidate for governor in a red state that we'd like to keep red, on the Todd Herman Show. So something interesting occurred to me. I started drinking coffee because I value being alert, awake. I value being on top of my game in the gym, mentally acute. Maybe it's the live radio days that did that to me. I was going to be up in the morning. So it used to be that caffeine was the deal. It was coffee was a caffeine carriage system for me. That's all it was. And I didn't even like the way it tasted. When we bought Bronfog coffee on board, I was bringing on a caffeine carriage system, but with values, the values of God, country, team. And then this momentous change occurred. I like the way my coffee tastes, and I am scared to death because I am not into, like, for instance, wine snobbery. And no offense, I'm not a wine culture guy. Because swishing stuff around in your mouth instead of just drinking it doesn't appeal to me. But I am starting to wonder which Bone Frog coffees go best with different stuff. That's freaking me out a little bit. And then there's the positive side of this. You know, my values about being mentally acute, awake, aware, burning it up in the gym. Now, when I drink Bone Frog coffee every morning, and to be frank, I drink coffee multiple times a day, I also have the value of God, country, team, and I have the value of knowing the people who founded the company. And I know Tim Cruikshank, 25-year Navy veteran and Navy SEAL, and I know that proceeds from the company go to support families of fallen Navy SEALs. And then I remember, just as I'm just doing right now with coffee this morning, is we get a deal from Bone Frog no one else in the world gets. This family gets a deal. It is lifetime 5% discount on a subscription plan. Any roast, any delivery system, K-cup to espresso bean, light to medium to dark coffee. 5% off lifetime. Just go to bonefrog.us. That's bonefrog.us. Ed Humphreys joins me, running to be governor of the state of Idaho. Ed, appreciate you joining us this morning.
Todd, it's great to be on with you.
Hey, congratulations on the big hit getting on Glenn Beck's show. That's a big deal.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun, and Glenn is a great guy. He's somebody who I think is widely respected in the conservative movement right now, and I love that he's so focused on ESG.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Environment, social justice, and governance. Yeah, it's bizarre that that's even being considered in our state. Ed, I left commercial radio December of last year, and one of the reasons was I am studying to perhaps be an ordained pastor one day, although I've got decades of spiritual maturity to gain to do that. Also because I wanted to take the radio show and put God at the center and politics at the edges. So I would start with some questions around people's faith. And my traditional question is, in your belief system, who is Jesus Christ?
I believe Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And it's so special to be on the show with you, Todd, and have this kind of discussion right after Easter. This is a time of year where I think people can remember what the atonement offers and how you can change the course of your life through Him.
Yeah. And do you believe, I believe in a triune God, one single God, only one God. Is that your belief as well?
You believe in the, say that again?
The triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, one God now and forever. Is that also your belief?
Well, I don't know what your, I'm not a theologian. I don't know what your specific definition of that is, yeah. But I believe we have a Father in heaven. I believe that in Jesus Christ and in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And you are, and I know you get this all the time. You're a very young man and I'm a very old man. You're looking at me with a rotator cuff today, Ed. And what I loved about your background is that you talk about serving both sides of labor, right? Being a roughneck and being a financial manager. That's an important thing. So let's talk about the roughneck, Ed. What did you learn being out in the oil fields?
Well, having blue-collar roots, I think, is really powerful right now and something that's missing from government and really a missing element in our education system as well. And I think one of the reasons it's so powerful for me is because it wasn't necessarily education that changed my life per se. It was, becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. So similarly, having come from, blue collar background now, in a white collar setting, I grew up not in a religious home. I didn't grow up going really? To church or reading the Bible or anything like that. So I discovered those set of principles, gospel principles, later in life in my early 20s, and it was really revolutionary for me. But that combined with the opportunity to make a good living in the oil field was really a game changer for me and allowed me to reach for my potential. And it changed my personal situation. So, 14 years ago, I was living in a rundown trailer park in Western Colorado. And I'm one of the few people you'll meet, never finished the eighth grade. Later in life, went on to get a master's in finance. So being a roughneck, I think, gave me that grittiness, that stick-to-it attitude until the job is done. And so I worked very long days on the campaign trail.
Oh, I've no doubt. And I believe that there is, and I want to get specific to Idaho issues, but I think that, Ed, if you became governor of the state of Idaho, you would have to be responsible for building a red state firewall against the encroachment of the left, because I think Boise is just about gone.
Yeah, it's concerning what's happening in Boise, especially with the leftist mayor, McLean. I like to call her McLennan. Yesterday, I heard someone call her McClown, and I thought that was a little humorous, but maybe too disrespectful. But nonetheless, it's very problematic out there. And part of the reason that this campaign for governor actually came together is because I've had a lot of success bringing together private citizens, arming them with the truth, and setting a goal. And that is true in Ada County as well. I'll give you an example of that, Todd, just so you can understand what I'm referring to. Just 2 years ago, Ada County was blue. So Ada County is, Boise, Meridian Eagle, Kuna, right? That area, it was blue. I started an organization with other people I knew here in Ada County. We called it Make Ada Great Again, right? It wasn't the most creative thing, but it was effective. And we ran people for party positions in the Republican Party to bring some new leadership there. It was hugely successful. And that new group of leadership and all the fresh blood we brought into the party, it was later that same year in the general. So that was done in the primary. And then in the general, we flipped Ada County from blue to red. We have more Republican legislators and Democrat legislators in Ada County now. We have more Republican commissioners than Democrat commissioners in Ada County. So that's a really powerful model. That's what this campaign is built on, is bringing together private citizens, setting a goal and getting the job done.
So I have a challenge in this because I think we talked before the interview. I spent a good portion of my life in tech before I stopped caring about it. And I officially now don't like tech, but I'd been the chief digital strategist at the RNC in Washington, D.C. for a couple of years. And I don't care about the Republican Party. Should I care about the Republican Party?
I would agree with you, Todd. The reality is this spiritual battle that we're in is so much greater than just Republican versus Democrat. The reason why I'm proud of what we did in Ada County is because it's not just about which party is the dominant party. It's about the ideas that dictate the future and the course of a community. And Seattle is such a great example, Todd. What happens in many places like that? I mean, Seattle was once just a beautiful city, a shining example of what a modern American city could be. And what happened is you had elected officials that turned over your tax dollars to private organizations that advocated for anti-American causes, and particularly one that I would recommend to all your listeners, a show called Seattle is Dying. You can look at it at YouTube or Rumble. And it's a two-part series, the second part being Fight for the Soul of Seattle. That is a really powerful documentary to show how elected officials turn over money to, you know, homeless nonprofit, and then that same organization gets prosecutors elected that won't prosecute crime, so forth and so on. So that's why we have to ensure that we have the right leadership at all layers of government.
Yeah, I agree. And we'll shift straight into some Idaho issues here because it represents this red state firewall. Let me just see if we can create some connection with the audience on people we admire. What do you think of the governor of Utah, who apparently is now feels the need to announce his pronouns?
Everything I see coming out of his office is the best way I could describe it, Todd. It just seems odd. We kind of saw the same thing happen to Mitt Romney. At one point he seemed generally okay, although a little too crony corporatist for my taste personally. But you saw as he just, it's almost like somebody got dirt on that guy, and now we see how he behaves. It's atrocious. And Spencer Cox, I don't know if Mitt Romney's a role model for him or what, but
great line.
Really going in the wrong direction down there.
Yeah. Who are two or three national figures currently in Republican politics who you truly admire?
Candidly, I think the future of the Republican Party is a model based on Ron DeSantis out of Florida. And this isn't just because Ron DeSantis gets a lot of the airtime in this country right now. He deserves a lot of the airtime. That is a man who understands what is going on behind the scenes. And there are some things he does that the news never talks about, but is very, very powerful. One is he understands. He doesn't talk about it often. I end up talking about a lot more in my campaign than he does. He's in more of a swing state in Florida. I believe Idahoans are really ready for the truth. But we are funding our own destruction right here in Idaho with our tax dollars. Republican elected officials every day of the week turn this money over to organizations that advocate for gender fluidity, you know, the type of organizations that would go into middle schools and high schools and teach kids how to pick pronouns. This state government, you wouldn't believe it. I could prove it to you. But this state government advocates for abortion and even promotes the services of Planned Parenthood, the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare.
This is what I want to hear.
That is outrageous.
This is the stuff. This is the stuff. Okay, this is the stuff I want to hear. I got to give my listeners a message here. I want to hear names named. I want to hear you talk about our governor, Brad Little. I use the phrase shiny shoe Republican or professional Republican. You ask someone what they do for a living, they say, I Republican. We'll talk about that. Ed Humphries is with me. You know, I am getting so many emails from people now. We were getting emails from people saying I've signed up with Soda Weight Loss, this great national program. You do it completely from home. Now I'm starting to get the success emails. Love this. Soda Weight Loss stands for state-of-the-art, S-O-T-A, weightloss.com. And it's so cool because it's matching my wife's progress. And state-of-the-art means state of the scientific art, as I see it, state of the emotional art. that there's no judgment at Soda Weight Loss, and that most of the people there, they practice it themselves. They're healthcare providers by background. Then there's this, the predictability of weight loss is so important. When they map out how much unwanted fat you're going to jettison, that you're going to do away with this unwanted fat holding you down, they will map that out in a number of weeks. Why? Because to do otherwise can throw your body into shock. It does, it gets afraid. Wait, that's my savings account, that fat that's now too heavy. It's my savings account. They know how to counteract that. And then, of course, the food being delivered to you on time and a wide variety of foods, the support from nutritionists. Some people work with one nutritionist. Many people go through and work with all the nutritionists at Soda Weight Loss. There's even, and please don't look past this, I've lost 150 pounds, guys. I know what it is to lose weight and keep it off. Don't look past the audio recordings that allow you to meditate on this. Particularly, they have Christian audio recordings. Super easy to join this Soda Weight Loss family. Just go to sodaweightloss.com. S-O-T-A stands for state of the art. All right, Ed, now you're lighting me up. Now I'm getting excited. Ed Humphries is with me. Is Brad Little, the governor of Idaho, one of your opponents, Steve Bradshaw, says Little is selling the state of Idaho to the feds bit by bit in land and in other ways. Do you think he's selling Idaho out?
In the last 3 years, our current governor has grown this state government by 32% when you measure it by expenditures. And now we have over 43% of the budget here in the state of Idaho comes from the federal government. So it just, I kind of chuckle every time I hear the governor boasting about how he balanced the state budget, because I'm thinking, hey, when you get massive injections of cash from the federal government, I sure as heck hope you can balance the budget. But let's also not forget, that's a constitutional mandate. Him bragging about balancing the budget, that's like an employee bragging about showing up to work on time. That's literally the most basic function of your job.
Well said. Ed, you come from finance. Is this even money?
Say again.
You come from a background in finance. Is it even money? Is this even really money we're getting? Or are we getting debt? Are we getting, we're getting debt and rules is the way I see it. We're getting conjured digits. Is it even real money?
I'm glad you're asking this question. This actually is a more powerful question than a lot of folks would even realize. And one of the things when Glenn Beck called me, it was so wild, Todd. Last Monday, I get a call on my cell and I pick it up and he says, "Hey, Ed, it's Glenn Beck." And you hear the voice. And I'm thinking, what in the world, right? So I end up chatting with him. And he had heard about me through some friends of his. And I told him, I said, I wrote much of my master's thesis was on modern monetary theory. And that is why when Glenn Beck heard that, he said, "Oh, I got to have you on the air." Modern monetary theory is a new idea. Well, it's not that new. They've been practicing it for a while. Now the academics are just trying to create excuses for their behavior. Essentially, what it means is that you can just print more money to get your way out of any economic problem. And look, the Weimar Republic in Germany tried this in the late 20s, early 30s. It had disastrous consequences for their economy. Yeah, this money that is pouring into our state, it doesn't come with strings attached. It comes with chains attached.
Right. And it comes with chains attached. And it's if there's any money involved at all, it's ours. Federal money is the greatest shell game that's ever existed. You scoop money out of the states, you take it to the feds, you pay their retirements and their obscene salaries. Right. And then they borrow a bunch or print a bunch and send it back to you with obligations. So with that said, would you be the governor who would find a way to say no to federal monies? Because that's hard to do, or to these federal digits. Would you actually be able to say, "Hey, we're not taking it. We're not going to have it."
Absolutely, Todd. This is part of my economic plan, my budget plan for the state of Idaho, is to begin the process of divorcing ourselves from any federal monies that subjugate Idaho agencies to federal bureaucracies.
Okay.
There are some monies, the payment in lieu of taxes and such, that our state is rightfully owed for the land that the federal government occupies in this state. Over 61% of land in the state controlled by the federal government. But this is powerful as well, because we need to take control of the future education in the state. These bureaucrats, Biden's bureaucrats in D.C., they don't know what bathroom to use, but they want to educate our children, tender young minds, with these racialized and sexualized ideas. It's growing quite perverse. I'm advocating for school choice. We're going to disrupt it. And I believe the first area we can immediately begin refusing federal dollars is in education. And then I want to start the process, because it will take time when 43% of your budget comes from the feds. It'll be a process, but we need to get it started of divorcing ourselves from the federal money.
Absolutely. And you mentioned there are people in this government in Idaho, and this, guys, hear what Ed's going to say here and then look at your own states. And I've been telling my brothers and sisters in Texas, you got to do something about Austin. They operate literally on Mao's faces of insurrections. And on the non-militant side, or the non-violent side, I should say, they treat college towns like Boise and Austin as the Maoist villages. That's exactly what they do. Win hearts and minds, own those, and then take that base to own a city. This is what they did to Seattle. Then from Seattle, they use that as a base to own Tacoma. And what you'll get with a lazy Republican Party who really all they want is a few tax cuts, that's it. They don't want the social issue stuff. They're fine with second place in these states. They'll say, oh, well, we don't go into Seattle. That's enemy territory. So that's the way it worked. Ed described that well by talking about I say Seattle's being murdered, by the way. It's not dying. They're suiciding themselves or being suicided. Ed, who is using our tax monies to promote abortion in Boise?
The Idaho Department of Welfare, along with its surrogates in the public health districts. And you can actually go on the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare's website and find the webpage where they promote the services of Planned Parenthood for the sole purpose of terminating a pregnancy. And the public health districts do the same. Todd, this is a real problem in Idaho, because you have to understand, when a young girl, for one reason or another, gets a referral from a school counselor or what have you, and through a public health district, and let's say this is a teenage gal that is pregnant for one reason or another, they can actually refer her to an abortion provider like Planned Parenthood, and because of HIPAA and the likes, the parents would never even be notified here in Idaho. There's no law that would require notification of the parents. This state is way out of control on these issues, and these social issues precede the decline that you're seeing, the economic decline and the like that you're seeing in Seattle. Just as this nation, it became the greatest nation on earth, but that's because it was built on a moral foundation, a foundation on the Judeo-Christian values that really built the Western world. Now we have grown away from those values. And so we're coming out of this time where we were the most powerful nation. I believe we're the greatest nation on earth, but we have started a descent, and it is because of a moral descent amongst the people.
Yeah, and it's a moral dissent that's being pushed. And I hope that people will begin being comfortable saying there are organizations that intend to destroy the nuclear family. Black Lives Matter Incorporated is an example of this.
Yeah.
And yeah, we have to get comfortable understanding we are under attack, and it's not all foreign. Right. Some of it's here with even the Great Reset. And I'm with Ed Humphreys. Ed, will you allow us just maybe 5 or 6 more minutes of your time?
Yeah.
All right. Folks, I'm going to be back over in Babylon. And this is going to be, man, it's just around the corner now. It's May 20th. I'm going to be giving a presentation, a speech, as it were, in Bothell, Washington, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., Cedar Park Church. The theme of the night is, will God save America? Will God rescue America, the country? And it's not a foregone conclusion. It's not a simple answer. It's going to be a very, very interesting evening. I'm so happy that my friend Julie, you heard from her earlier, is going to join me. She comes at this with a different life experience. She's a recent convert to Christianity, recently now becoming a disciple maker herself. We're going to talk from our two separate perspectives on Will God Rescue America? Zach Abraham is going to join. And, you know, we have Zach on every Friday to help demystify the mystification of finance that is done on purpose. We did a ticket report. We looked at them this weekend. The Lord is going to deliver a sellout on this. He's made it very, very clear. And I'm uncomfortable saying things this way because it sounds like trying to scare people into purchasing tickets. It happens every time we have these events and then people are sad because they can't get in. The tickets are $20. You go to thetoddhermanshow.com/events. That's thetoddhermanshow.com/events. Again, it's May 20th, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. And then from 8:30 to 9, we're just going to hang out. We're just going to hang out and visit as a podcast family, thetoddhermanshow.com/events. Ed, so this is a great transition into the ESG score. And I've been explaining this way, that ESG takes a rational analysis of a company's performance, a profit and loss. And there's a number of equations you could use for that. You know those better than I do as a finance guy, but you can look at earnings ratios. You can look at cost of sales. You can look at all sorts of numbers, COGS. That replaces it with an absolutely nonsensical but conveniently subjective measure that makes businesses simply servants of the left. Is this being installed in Idaho?
This is happening across America, and yes, it's happening in Idaho as well. It's incredibly dangerous. One of the things that's really on my heart, Todd, is I want to help lead the charge to reinvent the Republican Party and the conservative movement to be a movement that embraces small and medium-sized businesses, celebrates local businesses. But it is time to declare war on multinational corporations and publicly traded companies that don't have anyone's best interest except for their shareholders, many among who is like the Chinese Communist Party. The Chinese are getting into bed with countless multinational corporations that are based in America here. And you see how they exercise their influence, Disney being one in the news quite a bit lately. One of the ones people may or may not know or remember, I mean, when they were putting out the movie Mulan, there were portions of the movie that the CCP did not like. And they made a call into Disney and they got that film changed to meet Beijing's narrative. That's dangerous when you have an evil organization like the CCP. I love that you're educating people on Mao Zedong. I often compare these times we're in right now to the Chinese Cultural Revolution that Mao Zedong led out on. And I would love to talk to you, Todd, about that sometime. But ESG is happening across America because these multinational corporations are foisting it upon us. And we right now, we still have a brand of Republicanism that think, hey, what we need to do is cut deals with giant corporations. And even here in Idaho, our governor and his Department of Commerce, who he appoints the director of, they just cut a $50 million tax deal with Facebook. So we all have to continue to pay our taxes so that a $600 billion multinational corporation doesn't have to. And ESG is really dangerous because it's going to allow corporate America and the special interest groups to implement a social credit score and essentially determine a box out anybody that doesn't toe the woke leftist line. They'll box you out of the modern economy. And the example I use is insurance. If a handful of corporations in this country decided that, if you supported President Trump, then you were an insurrectionist and they denied you insurance because you were a higher risk, or because, like me, you chose not to get the COVID-19 vaccine, and you're higher risk. All they need to do is not offer you automobile insurance, homeowners insurance, and health insurance, and you will be bankrupted and you will be a bum on the streets because you're without those things, you're not going to drive a vehicle. You're not going to buy a home. And without health insurance, you're quickly going to lose all your wealth. It's incredibly dangerous. Idaho should be the state that leads out in America on this issue.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It was so very well said. And they're already using methods like that now in Venezuela. They just used ESG to begin attacking cattle ranchers. And they're also using Gates's carbon scheme. So I want to wrap up this way. There are three conservatives in this race. And then there's Brad Little, who's a shiny shoe professional Republican hack, in my judgment. And we'll ask him again to come on the show, and he won't. Are you guys like, we've got three conservatives versus Brad Little. So how does that work? How does one of you win in this primary? Because the person who wins the primary is going to be the next governor who wins the Republican primary. So I'm trying to figure out the math here.
Well, I would say the term conservative is far too loose a term. Even our current governor would put himself, label himself in that category. But when I look at my opponents, we appeal to very different crowds, I'll say. Particularly when I look at like the lieutenant governor, for instance, she's going around advocating to eliminate the corporate income tax, but keep taxes on us. So she essentially wants to give Facebook a total tax break, make sure that Facebook doesn't have to pay taxes, but we all have to, the working class and small business owners in this state continue to have to pay taxes. That's a brand of Republicanism I am not interested in anymore. I'm hoping to usher in a new era to this party and also attract and engage the rising generation to bring new energy, new enthusiasm into our cause. So I know some people talk about splitting the conservative vote. Nothing in politics is just a fixed pie. There were 550,000 people that voted for President Trump in the last election. I need 100,000 people to cast a ballot for Ed Humphries, and I would then be your next governor. I believe I can find 100,000 Idahoans that share American values and family values and want those things in this state. But we are past the point to drop out of the race. The last thing I'll say, Todd, we ought to have debates. Both the governor and the lieutenant governor refused to debate. And the Idaho Debate Commission invited three candidates to participate. It was the governor, the lieutenant governor, and myself. I was the only one who accepted the invitation to enter into that contest of ideas. This state has been robbed, and I am so worried because these special interest groups hope to buy the election just by putting on all these 30-second ads on television. It's unacceptable.
And I have a link to Ed's campaign in the show notes and Substack. If you signed up for that at the Todd Herman Show Substack, you get that every single morning. And Ed, how do people reach you if they want to support the campaign?
Go to edforidaho.com. We're hosting events all over the state. We have a lot of video content where I educate people on ESG and my policies. I have a whole plan articulated out on the website as well. So edforidaho.com, reach out to the campaign, come to an event, and I hope you'll vote for me to be your next governor on May 17th. It's going to take every person at the poll.
I'm so very excited that we got to meet. I'm so thankful for your time, and I can't repay it. I am thankful that you're speaking of the issues the way you're speaking of them. This is a little bit weird because it's not your doing. God gave it to you, but I'm thankful for your youth. Because I know what it's like to be your age and to have that energy. And so I will just wish you the very best travels and ask that you go with God's good grace and stop talking to clowns like me and get out and shake hands with real Idahoans.
No, Todd, I appreciate this opportunity. You and I are going to get along. We're tracking on a lot of the issues. I hope to chat with you again.
We will make that happen. This is the Todd Herman Show. Now, please always go be kind. I've said it wrong. Be well, be strong, be kind. And as always, let's endeavor to every single day make sure that we are right with Father God.